think this is probably out of ignorance, just how you do it more than anything else, but I had a question on page one, I guess it is, for Recreation Department revenue. Now, everything's in parentheses here anymore, so I'm really confused by that, but it says the sum of the annual budget was $65.50, and the sum of year to date, $694. I'm a little confused there because we're November, and if that's revenue,
are you reading?
Yeah, Recreation Department. We didn't receive much revenue. There was
cancellation of a couple of events.
The events, a couple of the events. That's why we didn't receive much revenue.
Yeah. So we also had that in the expense side also.
Right.
So that's why the expense side is way below budget too, because some at least two or three. I think there was a dance or two that we were going to do and end up canceling. So, so the expense side is down also.
Right. But you did forego the revenue, of course, from the dance, but you had to pay the band.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So.
Yeah, it was
that was fairly expensive.
Bit of a learning curve, and I think it soured the taste of the recreation committees on attempting dances in the future. It's just too much of a gamble. You know, you really got to push to get the attendance out, and it's they've done okay in the past until this one, but it was a brand new event, trying to like a summer dance. You can do a St. Patrick's dance and the certain ones like that, and just make enough revenue to cover the expenses. But to try to dream up something new, it's just too much work now.
Another part, this is jumping way ahead to page 13, I guess. And I know it's just a word, but I'm just wondering. I don't see too many unfavorables, and I'm not sure what favorable, maybe just so the public would know what that meant.
Favorable means so far the actual received versus the budgeted amount is in favorable position. So revenue-wise, the amount we're supposed to get at nine months is higher, and the expenses at the 9 months is lower.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that sounds good, yeah. Until I look at West Prairie Sound Recreation Cultural Center. I see that we're 10,000 over, and yet it says we're favorable.
And the reason is that, you know, we haven't done any transfers from the reserve, so 56,000 to 58,000 we needed to cover some of the cost for the loan interest. That hasn't been done, so that's why, because half of the 96,000 is the total cost of the loan,
right?
And half of that we paid, so as of 9 months it's favorable.
Okay, that makes sense. It's just hard, I guess, when you don't see that 96,000 or 98,000. Yeah.
And all the transfers to and from will be done at the year end. That's why, you know, whatever the reserves you see need to be done to the from and to, you see the full amount. You haven't done any reserves transfer yet.
Right, okay. And just out of interest sake, and I guess it's public, I don't know, the bottom of 13, the $3,000. From George Bay Biosphere Reserve. Maybe Carly can speak to it. I don't know what happened there.
So we were paid $3,000 for me to do an Excel sheet, summarizing the township zoning bylaw and official plan documents for a project that the Georgian Bay Biosphere is doing through different grants they've received. So they had grant money that they needed to distribute to the municipalities. So in exchange for information, we were given $3,000.
Excellent. some, and are they going to speak to that project at some point, or is
yes.
it? Okay.
Yep.
Yes, Mr. Ryan.
Rashawn, can you tell me just in broad terms what the difference between professional services and, well, this one says planning consultants on page 14, but I know it appears several times in the document. In other words, professionals would be lawyers and engineers, is that accurate?
Yeah, the professional services, lawyers, engineers, and auditors.
And architects?
Auditors.
Auditors, yeah. Fair enough, okay. And the consultants would be everybody else? But
yeah, everybody else, like HR consultants.
Okay.
We don't have a specific category for HR,
okay.
So that's where we put in the consultant.
Okay. That helps. I mean, I noticed it. I think it's three times in the document, but it doesn't matter.
I've noticed on 14 as well, just a question, I guess, not necessarily of the figures, but it's under business development, the website business. And I know Carly spoke to this at some point. Are we looking at upgrading or getting new website?
Unfortunately, potentially, yes. Our current website holder, they're migrating to a new system, which within the migration, they're charging us money to do that. So I've been talking to our IT consultant, and he thinks that we could get a brand new website for cheaper than migrating our current website with our existing provider. So we're looking into that further. There's been no date given as to when our website would be down, but they're thinking in the next couple of years. So they're just trying to prepare their clients now.
Well, that was important because we've looked at that all year. We just haven't had the time. We were going to schedule a meeting to look at our website, how we can improve it. But is that wasted time? If
it may be now.
Okay. And Perry Sound Industrial, I noticed there, we do pay into that, don't we? A certain amount over the year, like $15,000 or something? It's down
yes,
further.
Yes, we do.
Is that somewhere else in the budget?
Oh.
It's on page 14 still.
Okay.
It's somewhere else. It's part of the...
If it's somewhere else, that's fine.
Yeah, it's somewhere else. It's okay. Part of the environmental...
Any other questions from council? Looking very closely, but I know they've looked at it before. This, Councillor Arna.
Page 10, Ram Roshan, with the under waste collection and disposal, I see that we, by all appearances, anyhow, don't have enough money for the rest of the year. We will be over budget by the end, both for waste hauling contract and waste tipping fees. That's just my guess. I mean, I don't know that it's equalized. I know summertime is more, is busier, but do you have a sense is this likely to be not a budget issue for us?
I think it might be, especially the waste hauling contract. I think I mentioned in my report too that the cost of the per ton has been increased from $250 to $415. And that's one of the reasons, you see as of now, as of September, the pretty much,
okay.
We consume the budget.
Waste hauling is Adams Brothers? Is that
Adam Brothers.
That's what I thought. So. Anyway, a little, I suppose not a surprise, but a little disappointing nonetheless, that's all. So.
That's
quite a number of expenses related to public works, which again is not a surprise either. But
interesting that you actually answered my question on page 10.
Okay, what's your question?
Industrial park levy is there, so.
Yeah,
and it was around 15,000.
Okay. Whereabouts is that on the page?
Right above where you were talking, two lines up. Waste hauling contract, or three lines up.
Contract services.
It's page 10. It's
yeah, I'm on page 10 for sure.
Writing on the right hand side, the third one up with writing in it.
Which one are you looking for?
Well, you were mentioning industrial.
Industrial park.
Yeah,
it's in the comments
right
section.
There.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't looking at the right-hand column. I was looking on the left-hand. Okay.
$32 over
yeah.
budget.
Yeah. Well, I remember we had the presentation from them earlier this year too. But
since household hazardous waste is right there handy, does the town bill us at some point?
So far, we haven't received any bill yet. I'm hoping that by year end, I will get something.
Right. Okay.
Or not. But to be honest, yes, that would be fair. But okay. So is there a unique reason for being, well, we're already over budget for the industrial park. I don't recall that being discussed when they came to present to us, but it may well have been, but I wouldn't be aware of that. But is there something that's changed, or just a pricing increase maybe?
Pricing increase, that's the only thing I can remember.
Well,
A lot of external agencies' levies are increasing, and maybe at some point we will discuss about that one too. The OPP, the cost of that one is going to be increased by 20% for next year budget.
I mean, it's not huge dollars, that's the only saving grace, but.
Well, I remember the OPP a few years back. They did it over a 5-year period, but it hit the township pretty hard,
yeah.
Their increase. So this 20% increase now is substantial.
Yeah.
And we don't know, the breakdown, I guess, and how it's being used and why it's necessary and that sort of thing. A lot of people are questioning it in the different townships. But you mentioned the other waste that Perry Sound's collecting for hazardous waste. Did they have a breakdown similar to what we were trying to get for our metal out of the transfer station? Did they break it down how many users?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do? Okay.
Not the users, but then,
well, my understanding, I know that's changed probably,
yeah.
But I remember it was based on the number of people, number of trips from McKellar.
Yeah, that's how, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so before they used to have a deadline of, I think it was sometime in October when the household hazardous waste would not be collected any longer. But now they collect it 12 months of the year, so that's why probably you're not getting the bill until the end of December 31st.
But then, you know, I haven't received any bill from January from this year, so January, February, March, April, May, June. Are we talking about that, you know, hazardous?
Yes.
Based on how
would they normally send a bill every month or annually?
Sometimes they send me 6 months bill together, or sometimes 3 months bill. It just depends on the workload. Their workload.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just for a memory refresher, back to page one at the bottom. Just for clarification, transfer to reserve. It's about $700,000. It's got building.
Sorry,
yeah, it's the bottom of page one. It's about four lines up. It says transfer to reserve administration, $700,000. And then it's got building for an explanation. I guess I'm just asking what the building means.
The
other
page
there's more than
one
page.
It's one. One, but I guess
okay,
it's
now that helps. Oh.
Well,
there's more than one page. What's the second page one?
Second page?
Yes.
Must be page 15. I just got a one there.
Okay.
The last page.
I'm still not sure where I know where to find it, but at least I know there's more than one. So. Can you find it, or do you know?
It's the very last page.
Very last page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's another one. Okay.
One on the page.
Are we talking about the capital budget?
It says reserve, so I guess it would be, yeah. I'm just wondering, it just says building, and I just wanted an explanation for the public that it says the sum of the annual budget was $699,000.
Oh, that one. That's part of the capital budget. So, yeah, that's, that. Again, the transfers will be done at the year end, and $699,000. 44 included the $469,000 from leverage debenture balance.
Okay.
And, you know, when we estimated that $1 million we will be going for the debenture and remaining balance we will transfer to the the reserve account. So that was from that one, $469,500, $114,544 for the capital construction, and $100,000 for vehicle, and $15,000 for building. That's building for the public works building.
Right, that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
And that sort of captures it all then,
yeah.
Even though it just says building, it's
yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm just saying for the public to look at
yeah.
that, it would be confusing. Any questions for Roshan? We've kept them for this period of time. So.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you for that report. It's very detailed, and this has gone out as part of the agenda package, so the public has seen this. That's good. Do you, just out of interest, do you get many questions when this goes online and people call in about the budget? No?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, I believe we've read the resolution, all right? Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, resolution 24-582, moved by Councillor Pekkanen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the District of Prairie Sound Social Services Administration Board CAO's report for September 2024 for information purposes. Discussion? I guess just one point. I know it's come up before. I know that Councillor Ryland brought it up. When we get reports like this, and the same with the forestry one that's come up, there are a lot of colored pages there that we tend just to file. And I'm wondering, and I know a hybrid situation would be almost impossible, but I'm wondering at the cost, when they send that individual copy to us, for each of us to receive a copy and then file it away. Is it something that we need, especially with all this color and all these graphs? Or can we somehow do that digitally and not do so much at getting new copiers? I don't know, I'll put that to Carly whether that's a question. And I know it would mix up the agenda if you do some hard copy and some not, but some of these I've noticed. Georgia Bay Biosphere, another one, when it's sent out to us, and one time we got two or three copies of it. It looks expensive.
It is very expensive.
So I'm wondering if we can somehow, especially when there's so much color, if we can cut back on that somehow. And when the council would still receive the information, it's just that we sit here, look at it, pass a resolution saying we've received it, and then it's gone. And I know we don't have a solution right tonight, but just to plant the seed, I guess.
As the council, if we want to look at going more electronic, I'm more than willing. But if we need a transition period between full electronic and paper, we could probably make that work as well.
You probably got a couple of years to prepare for that.
I've just been noticing it more and more. And I know I didn't necessarily want to go the way Whitestone's gone. I mean, they purchased, I think, laptops or iPads for everybody.
Yeah,
they have a certain account for it. And I think maybe Google goes electronically. I'm not saying we have to do that. I mean, the hard copy is important to have to be able to write on and to just to manipulate. But I'm thinking it more and more, it's getting more expensive. We do have a new copier, and I don't think that was that cheap. So if we can make it last longer, I think that would be a good consideration. Not that you have to do another report, but...
No, I think for me it might be hard to determine what council's preference is to
right.
if they want printed versus not. So maybe, like, going forward, like, we don't print the consent agenda or, you know, maybe something like that. But we can discuss that further.
Okay.
in a document like that, we could receive it by Gmail and read it, you know, on our computer, and maybe not necessarily have to have a hard copy for the meeting. I don't know if we do that, or it has to be this way so the public have access.
Well, council does receive the agenda electronically, so mm-hmm. the printed is just an extra.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times I do, because I get it sooner when you email it out, the agenda, I'll read a lot, most of it on my computer before I even pick up my agenda, so
yep.
it, whether you would earmark certain ones that won't be in the hard copy, I don't know.
But then I guess if I were to earmark one wrong and a counselor wanted a copy of, say, a report, and I didn't think that it was necessary, like, it's just kind of hard to determine each individual counselor's preference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, suggested, John, I won't belabor this right now, but there could even be a checklist sent out. I'm not going to be sending or making hard copies of these particular reports. And that'll be sent out by email, and then we agree, disagree, and if you have enough counselors saying, or even one, whatever we decide, that the actual copy is important, then you have some idea anyway. As long as counselors get back to you, that's a bit of a big problem.
Mm-hmm. I think the administration cost of trying to navigate that is going to be more than printing this out, so.
Well, I don't know. It could be, but, yeah.
Yeah, I would say if we got into a very large colored document or something, yeah, we'd have to look at it.
Which we have.
I would be in favor of, emailing it to us, or Gmailing, whatever you want to call it, and asking if any counselors want a hard copy also. For something that's maybe, 20 or 30 pages in color, I'd be fine with that.
Most of the stuff like that is under correspondence for consideration, right? So could we just not do the hard copies for that stuff unless someone requests it?
Could be in the consent agenda too.
Right. I think most of them have been in the consent. But you're right, some could be in the consideration. That's totally different, and we don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, something to consider. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-583, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas Ontario's forest industry is vital to the economy, employing 137,000 people and supporting community prosperity through substantial investments in resource management. And whereas challenges like increased U.S. tariffs, mill closures, and the need for enhanced infrastructure and energy support threaten Ontario's forest sector, now therefore be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar supports FUNAM's resolution urging the Ontario government to adopt measures that sustain investment, protect jobs, and ensure long-term growth in the forest industry. And further, that a copy of this resolution be sent to relevant ministers, opposition leaders, and municipal organizations. Discussion?
Well, how do we support it? By continuing to get our hard copies.
That's a good point.
That's the definition of irony, but so.
Councilor Zula.
So that's FUNAM's resolution, the top part?
Pardon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a consolidated version of FUNAM's full one, but it's in support of the full FUNAM resolution.
Yeah, because
it just doesn't say much.
Well, we talked about that before, whether we want to read out the whole
yeah.
resolution. And in most places, all they do is support or oppose the resolution. And we're going to come up with one here shortly, too, and another one that if you support this, of course, you're supporting, in a sense, the whole resolution, as Carly just
right.
said. And if there's anything in there that you don't support,
yeah, that's
then
what I'm saying. You don't see the whole resolution.
No, but it's available and it may be attached. I don't know.
It's
yeah,
in the
it's, yeah, full one page.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I think overall it's a good resolution, and a lot of businesses, it's tough now.
I give you credit for cutting it down as much as you did and still making it useful, so.
And I certainly
it's no small task to weedle through all that. You know what would be really good for that is using AI to do it.
Yeah.
It would do a remarkable job. I use AI for similar things at home, so.
Be faster, right? For sure.
Because you just tell it to summarize it, and then it comes out, and it's a couple of points, and you can spend a long time looking at it and checking, thinking, yeah, there's things that are left out, but they're not really material, so. Because I would imagine this took a long time to parse that out of this, but and or the pages that came attached. But anyhow, no, I think it's quite credible. So.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-584, moved by Councillor Pekkanen, second by Councillor Rizzullo. Whereas the municipality of McDougal has submitted a request to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing to permit its withdrawal from the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, and whereas the Township of Carling has made a similar request, which, if approved, would leave only the Township of McKellar and the municipality of Whitestone as remaining members of the Planning Board, and whereas McKellar and Whitestone, as smaller municipalities, do not employ a dedicated in-house planner due to the limited volume of consent applications, which does not justify the hiring of full-time planning staff. And whereas the potential dissolution of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board would impose substantial challenges and adverse effects on the remaining municipalities, impacting their ability to effectively manage local planning needs. Now therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does not support the municipality of McDougal's request to be removed from the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, and further that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Municipality of McDougal, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, and all member municipalities of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board for their information. Discussion? I can see where they're going. I remember it was years and years ago, over 10, when this came up. We looked at that too, because various one archipelago winds, for instance, had their own planning authority. They could do their own septic approvals. They didn't have to go through North Bay, Mattawa. Seguin ended up doing the same. And each township was looking at that at the time, if they could afford it. And they could send out the CBO, for instance, while doing inspections, could also look at septics. And that seemed to be dropped, although it looks like some of the municipalities are picking it up again. And I think, Carly, you had said that Graydon Smith approached this too. A while back, he sent out a questionnaire. And so I think that's what McDougal is doing, is taking advantage of this if they can. But we have to look, too, for our own interests. And we fought hard to get into the planning board. And now are we going to do suffer because there are only two of us left in the planning board? We don't know how the province will react to Carling's request and now McDougal's request. But we know how they reacted to Prairie Sound's request. Prairie Sound's gone from the board. So we don't know what will happen, but this is why it's difficult to support. And I know your representatives on the board have voted against Carling at a planning board meeting, and I guess the McDougal one will be coming up at some meeting in the future, I would assume. So council has to decide whether they're going to support this or not, and whether you want McDougal to go on their own.
What happened with Prairie Sound? Was it voted at the planning board?
That was before my time, so I don't know.
I believe it was voted to. Most municipalities didn't want Prairie Sound to leave. That's, I think it might have been unanimous even. For the same reason, you know, less consent applications.
And the municipal affairs allowed them to leave?
They did. I think they had kind of a good argument. You know, they're different. You know, they're a built-up town compared to our rural municipalities, where I'd be a little more surprised if they let Carling and McDougal leave, because we're also very similar, you know, rural areas. And to know that would make it more onerous on a couple of municipalities, like the motion says. So.
Okay, any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. statistics from the Government of Ontario confirm that rural roads are inherently more dangerous than other roads, and whereas despite only having 17% of the population, 55% of the road fatalities occur on rural roads, and whereas rural, northern, and remote municipalities are fiscally strained by maintaining extensive road networks on a smaller tax base, and whereas preventing crashes reduces the burden on Ontario's already strained rural health care system, and whereas roadway collisions and associated lawsuits are significant factors in runaway municipal insurance premiums, preventing crashes can have a significant impact in improving municipal risk profiles. Now, therefore, be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar requests that the Government of Ontario take action to implement the rural road safety program that Good Roads has committed to lead. It will allow Ontario's rural municipalities to make the critical investments needed to reduce the high number of people being killed and seriously injured on Ontario's rural roads. And further, that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to Premier Doug Ford, Honourable Pradmeet Sarkaria, Minister of Transportation, Honourable Kinga Sirma, Minister of Infrastructure, Honourable Rob Flack, Minister of Agriculture, Honourable Lisa Thompson, Minister of Rural Affairs, Honourable Trevor Jones, Associate Minister of Emergency Preparedness and Response, and Honourable Sylvia Jones, Minister of Health and Good Roads. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favour? None? Opposed? Carried? Resolution 24-586, moved by Councillor Zulak, signed by Councillor Kekkonen, whereas the Township of McKellar anticipates a 20% increase to the Ontario Provincial Police levy for 2025. Now, therefore, be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support Resolution Number 229 of the Municipality of Tweed, and further calls on the Ontario government to immediately implement sustainable funding for small rural municipalities by reabsorbing the cost of the Ontario Provincial Police Force back into the provincial budget with no cost recovery to municipalities, and further that this support resolution be circulated to Premier Doug Ford, Minister of Solicitor General, Minister of Finance, to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
Previously, annually, when the annual billing statement package was sent out to municipalities, it would appear on our council agendas. It's usually sent out at the end of September or beginning of October each year. And we have received it for this year, so I'd like to see that added to the next council meeting agenda.
This would save us about $360,000.
Pardon me?
This would save us $360,000 approximately.
Save us? No. It's currently we're paying approximately $330,000 or $360,000, and it's increasing to $430,000.
Okay, sorry, but this resolution, as written, is asking the province to pick up and reabsorb the cost without any cost recovery from municipalities.
Well, they've already sent out the invoice for this year, so the thinking, but hopefully, if enough municipalities protest by, signing this and sending this resolution, that maybe it will catch someone's ears.
No.
Now we're discussing the Tweed resolution.
Yeah.
It just comes up, I've mentioned it before too, because Councillor Zulak has referenced it. You're supporting the entire Tweed resolution, even though it's centering in on the OPP increase levy. And if you look at some of the comments in the Tweed resolution, I would just caution that does Council agree with all of those comments? It begins, where it is apparent that the Ontario government has overlooked the needs of small rural Ontario. We're in agreement with that, and what follows, that's fine. Or you can consider amending the resolution to deal with the OPP costs. If you believe everything the Tweed is saying there, I have no problem with it. So.
We can amend the resolution and remove Township McKellar does hereby support resolution. resolution?
That was my question.
Yeah.
It's come up before. I think Councillor Hassman referenced it. There are many figures in here that we have no proof of. I mean, obviously, I mean, they've researched this. We work on the trust situation, but if there's any you might question, then do you just want to, you know, agree to these comments, or do you want to focus in on the OPP increase only?
Yeah.
I think focus on the OPP increase, because you can use whatever comparisons you want. You can compare Ontario's cost of paying the deficit, which is $1 billion a month, and the total cost of the OPP budget is $1 billion for the year. So that would make a little more of a comparison. You know, this one here is maybe relevant to the individuals there, but I think if we just stick to being concerned about the 20% increase of the costs to McKellar Township.
Unless at the November 19th meeting, when I bring up the OPP levy, I could do another resolution about that to send,
mm-hmm.
if you prefer that.
We could do that.
So we'll defer this.
Yeah. Speak that to Tweed, and then we'll have our own.
Yeah, sounds good.
So it's Councillor Zulak, Councillor Kekkonen, if you wish to defer this, so then
yep.
we'll do a separate one next meeting.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Defer that one forever.
Well, it's a little scathing, that's all. When I read this, I mean, it's...
If we defer it, then we do the other one. Then we, if we pass the other one, then we...
Well, it wouldn't be deferred.
Defeat
definitely.
That one,
yeah.
Right? We defeat that one and do another one.
So we'll call for deferral. All those in favor? None opposed? Resolution 24-587, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby adopt the following regular council meeting and budget meeting schedule for 2025. Discussion? Maybe just explanation why you put budget in there as well?
Just to have a little bit more of a schedule this year for budget discussions, and then that the public's well aware of when we're having our budget talks. We've left out budget meetings for February because that's when the interim tax bill comes out, so staff are very busy doing that. So the first proposed budget meeting would be at the end of January, two in March, and then hopefully it would be adopted at the April 1st regular meeting.
Did we still plan on having me and Roseanne about capital projects before Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So next meeting, November 19th, he's going to present to council the capital budget, and hopefully that will be more or less decided on by the end of 2024. So the first budget meeting for January 2024 would be the first budget meeting, January 24th, 2025, will be primarily to deal with the operating budget.
Right, okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-588, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the following 2025 holiday schedule for the Municipal Office and Community Center. You want me to read those out? Or it's in there. So. And the written resolution, I can read them if you wish, but people want to hear it. Yes?
No.
No?
You
okay.
seem inclined to want to just do it.
No, I don't. I can do it though. New Year's Day, Wednesday, January the 1st, 2025 will be repeated, so I won't keep saying it. Family Day, Monday, February the 17th. Good Friday, April the 18th. Easter Monday, April 21st. Victoria Memorial Day, Monday, May the 19th, Canada Day, Tuesday, July the 1st, Civic Holiday, Monday, August the 4th, Labor Day, Monday, September the 1st, Thanksgiving Day, Monday, October the 13th, Remembrance Day, Tuesday, November the 11th, Christmas Eve, Wednesday, December the 24th, and the office and community center close at 12 p.m. Christmas Day, Thursday, December 25th, Boxing Day, Friday, December 26th, Christmas break, Monday, December the 29th, to Friday, January the 2nd, 2026, inclusive.
Wow, eh?
Eh?
No, wow, we're thinking 2026.
I don't think the motion matched this sheet here perfectly, eh? As you got down near the bottom, so. Oh, boxing. Oh, yeah, you said boxing.
Yeah,
eh?
It's the Christmas closure.
It's the Christmas
separated.
Break. It's up down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we just haven't got the motion out to see the difference. But. Okay.
Okay, all the questions, all in favor? None opposed, carried. Now, 20.3 was deleted at this point, at the beginning of the meeting. So we're on to unfinished business. Anything on that list should be removed, added to? Councilor Keck?
At the September 17, 2024 meeting, we passed a resolution in regards to the sections of Hardy's Road and additional road sections of the Township McKellar's be noted by a ratepayer. And whereas Dunkor Enterprises and Miller Paving, now therefore the Council of Township McKellar directs staff to contact Dunkor Enterprises and Miller Paving Limit to schedule an information center, session. If that could be added to the unfinished business list, otherwise we're gonna forget about it and it'll might not come into fruition. I think it's important that the council is aware of the different road preparation options that are available, even when we're having budget discussions.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be tied in with some other business that we're discussing as far as the roadways. So that will come to fruition at some point, I think, and looking at all of our roads. Well, as you say, tied in with the budget, so I don't think it's been forgotten, but it's good to remind that.
I'd like to have it on the unfinished business.
Yep.
Dave?
Yes?
Do you think we should take off the bylaw regulating dogs?
Well, we're in a situation right now, like I say, with Perry Sound for an actual location that didn't work well. Bylaw enforcement, we're looking, so we really can't at this point go much further with it until we get somebody in place. I wouldn't want to get rid of it completely, because if we get a new bylaw enforcement officer in place, then that may be a high priority for that person. And I know what you're thinking, but I look at some of the other municipalities too. I use Whitestone as an example. Some of their unfinished business goes back years. So I don't think my concern is, as Councillor Kekkonen said, if we take it off, then we do forget about it.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
Well, again, we have to go to the public for that, isn't it? Okay, new business. I just had a couple things that's more time sensitive than anything. I'd asked about this months ago. It came up through the Legion, and I know the ceremony coming up on the 10th. They had asked about the flagpole down at the cenotaph. If a black mark could be placed halfway down, when they lower the flags and they're standing right underneath the flag, they can't tell when they've got halfway down. So they wanted this is through Kelvin Hill. Wanted a black mark, and I know it hurts the aesthetics, but it helps them to know where to stop lowering the flag and when to start raising it again as part of their service, the ceremony. And I thought it was a fairly small gesture, because you don't want a situation where it becomes embarrassing and the flag falls to the ground, perhaps, or they stop a quarter of the way down instead of halfway down. So just a black mark, and just be measured out about halfway down the pole. That was what was asked. And the other thing, I guess it's sort of new business, I just wanted to mention this. I regularly check the community center as far as security, and twice now within the past week, doors have been left open. And I just wanted this to go public as well, that we have to talk to the individuals who rent or use, they're not paying rent, the facility at the end. I'm not saying they're the ones, but they're the obvious ones we have to look to, first of all. One was on Halloween night of all nights. The kitchen door was wide open. And that was around 10 o'clock at night.
You're kidding.
So the only people that used it, at least listed, was the yoga class on Halloween night. I don't know if they canceled or what happened. But I'm just thinking we have to at least, if we can't send somebody around to check the facility, I'm just worried that, you know, if it's accessible like that and somebody has made the effort to go up and, now that case, it wasn't even the door shut. It was just swinging wide open in the wind. And last night's another example. Now I see it with badminton on the list, but I don't know if there's anybody after that or not. The front doors, the left one, pushed open. You just walk up to it, it's not locked. And so they need to be instructed, I think, in how to close up properly if they haven't been. And I don't know who's in charge, but I'm just thinking that's just something waiting to happen if we don't secure the building. Most people are good about it. The doors are shut, the lights are on, it looks like it's secure. I brought this up before. It hasn't always been secure. And I just don't know what we do next.
Maybe we should have whoever is using for event, there has to be one person that is in charge and is responsible for it. If there's something that isn't locked up, then you have to go to them and find out why.
Right.
Why it hasn't been locked. And then the only other alternative is if it keeps happening and it's not locked up, then they're going to not be allowed to, you know, have the event.
Right.
Yeah, that would be twice for the badminton group because they left two windows open at one time, too. One of our rec, we had a rec meeting, and one of our rec members went and talked to the badminton group on Monday about the windows being left open and about to go over who was actually running the program.
Good question.
So he was to hopefully clarify that. He was, I think, hoping to get somebody new to look after the program. So this isn't a good start.
No.
Left open.
That's right. Say no, you know.
So we can put it on the hit list again to see if we can try to get them to double check everything on the way out.
I know before in the past there was the library when they had the cooking events. They had left windows open and doors open, and I brought that to their attention and said, you know, that they're going to have to, you know, make sure it's locked up or else you're going to have to cancel it or pay a fee.
So maybe a notice should be sent out from the clerk administrator's office to all the committees and user groups that this is an issue and concern, and please pay attention to it.
Yeah, I think that's useful.
Yeah, to the chair persons or council reps, whichever, or both, and then they can forward it on to their committees. That's all we can do is basically harp on them until they...
Right, and you're never sure it's the same person in charge because sometimes they don't show up. But they have to delegate then, I think, if they can't do it.
Yeah, just do better than what's been happening.
Okay, any public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports, the committees you've attended? Councillor Fagan?
So October 17, 2024, the first West Perry Sound OPP Detachment Board meeting open to the public was held at the Nobel Community Center at 7 p.m. Bonnie Keith was appointed chair and Tom Lundy appointed vice chair. Currently, McDougall Township is coordinating the administration of the board, but it seems like this responsibility may be available to any interested municipalities or qualified individuals. The deadline for an expression of interest by citizens that would like to have the opportunity to be appointed to the two available citizen representative positions is December 2nd, 2024. The link is available on the Township website under Township Services under the category Committees. One of the items on the agenda was insurance for the board and members, which is currently being reviewed. The new structure of the board is of the board of the Westbury Sound Attachment Area is not focused on the individual municipalities, which was previously the case, is focused on the detachment board area. So previously we would receive detailed information for McKellar Township, and now the software that the board has for providing information is much more general and not specific to the municipalities. As mentioned previously, I'd like to see the OPP municipal policing annual billing statement package available to the public, because since we're not getting this detailed information, the calls for service billing summary report and the base costs are in that annual billing report, so at least you know, council and citizens can see where OPP resources are being utilized in the McKellar Township. Particularly with the price, the cost going up 20%, I think it's important for us to see where that is. Is it, if it's going up for all municipalities, it's the base cost. Somehow there's some substantial increases, and it'd be nice to be able to see where that is. Anyways, the next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 16th at 7 p.m. at the Nobel Community Center.
And those are going to be what, quarterly meetings, roughly, or not sure yet?
Yes, and most likely it'll be structured as it was in the past, quarterly meetings, because there are four required every year. So.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. We Google it. May or may not be interested in continuing.
It seemed like they were more than willing to
find another lead
municipality. Municipality to do it.
Any or wouldn't have any idea at this point, I guess, what the cost to each municipality is going to be. Like,
not very much. Approximately 2,000 a year. That's what we're setting as the basic budget amount. 2,000 to 3,000. So.
Now that would include if the question came up about the citizen appointees to be paid. That would be paid from each from the board as well.
Yeah.
So that would come from all the townships. And provincial appointees, the townships have to take care of that cost too, or does the province pay?
I'd have to take a look at the act, but
yeah.
I believe the board pays that as well.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, these meetings, I know you just had the inaugural meeting, but are these going to be public at some point?
Well, they're public. They're open to the public.
But you mentioned it was open. Is this going to be on Zoom as well, or is it just...
Well, I don't know yet. The administration figures out who's doing what.
Yeah, okay.
But they are open to the public in person currently, so...
But you're suggesting that much of what the public hears in a meeting like that wouldn't be specific to municipalities?
No. Okay. So the kind of stats that you would hear... So the detachment commander's report would include for the West Curaçao area, basically other crime occurrences, federal statutes, provincial statutes, driving offenses. Drug crimes. Fatalities in the detachment area, vehicle collisions.
For the whole area?
Yeah.
Not broken down into each municipality?
No.
Used to do that, right?
Yeah, so they would previously give
the
RMS or the records management systems data and numerous other reports, and plus the calls for service billing summary report that would have a breakdown of each category that the OPP would be allocating time to investigate, whatever it may be. There's a list of about 100 different categories, and none of that is, the board is not required to discuss that information, just a very basic breakdown of information.
So there won't even be that many closed sessions necessarily then, because you won't be able to discuss it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, yeah, because this is all open public information,
yeah.
So the, yeah, we'll have to see how things play out.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Any other?
Yeah, I had a rec committee meeting, and we had a couple of events in the last month. The Georgian Bay Winds performed here at the hall, which was very successful and was really enjoyed. We had the kids' Halloween handout here on the Saturday, and we had 75 kids, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got that many kids in McKellar, so obviously areas outside are coming and enjoying too, so... So that's good. One question came up from the rec committee was, we did a list at one time that staff took care of a lot of stuff over at the rink, especially a painting of the lines. Our committee isn't quite sure whether that's something that they're going to have to do or if the staff is going to look into it and maybe have done.
I'll bring it up to Tom again because I think he was looking at different kinds of paint.
Okay. Well, maybe when he's looking at it, he can look at paint for Broadbent Road, too.
Well, we do have to discuss that, yes.
I noticed that on the Herdville Road, they had corners and hills done, I think,
right.
Which we do need something. I was out late last night. Well, late for me, it was 8 o'clock now. But anyways, when I was heading home, it was raining kind of thing. And that black hard top, I think we need something. Especially on corners and hills, because when you're going around a corner, it's really hard to judge without something. So, yeah, we can talk
the better.
Yeah,
yeah, we can talk to Tom about it again next time we meet him. We also had a Perry Sound Area Planning Board meeting, and I believe that was the final step of Fire Route 160 at the Ridge. That consent application is approved and gone, and believe it or not, it went quietly at the meeting.
Quietly,
no, no comments from the public.
No, everything has to be signed yet.
yeah, we might see it again, but it's
nice.
Hopefully that's approved and over with. And McDougall's motion was at that meeting about moving off of the board, but it wasn't voted on or anything. And there was one application. We only had, I think, three applications. One from in Whitestone was deferred. And I can't remember exactly the reason for that. Do you, Dave?
I probably need the name. I can't.
Yeah, I can't. But anyways, in Whitestone. So. But yeah, that was it for meetings for me.
Okay. Any other reports? We have Resolution 24-589, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from the public related to items on the agenda? In person or on Zoom? No, hearing none. And Resolution 24-590, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-78, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open Council this 5th day of November 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Resolution 24-591, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:34
8:34 p.m.